Title of this message is Knowledge is the Key in the Kingdom. Knowledge is the key in the kingdom. I ask you if you got your lightsabers, lift them on high and pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I have your word and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Knowledge in the kingdom. Remember, I've been telling you guys that Satan's ploy is to keep us in darkness. And I told you that darkness is a description of our ignorance or unknowing or inability to comprehend truths. Let's see what Jesus has to say about this. John 8, verses 31 through 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Then they answered him and said, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus has given us the most important key for every believer. This verse here is the most important verse for us to grow spiritually, to become these dynamos that God has ignited our spirits to become. The problem is, we don't exactly understand what he's trying to convey, nor do we understand what all the spiritual words that he says to us in order to put these pieces together. And what we do is we become these walking, talking Bible verse people. We can quote all kinds of scriptures. And you know, Satan does the same thing. He quotes scripture, and it sounds real good, but you know, he kind of leaves off some important stuff when he quotes scripture. Our problem is we add to scripture. And we've seen that in Genesis, how Eve added to the scriptures when she was giving the word back to Satan. And so I want you to begin to understand, in order for us as kingdom people, we must become educated. God does not want us ignorant. I want to just take a few minutes of our time to emphasize the importance of knowledge. Jesus wants us to understand that as we're in the Word, reading the Word is not going to help you. It is a start. It's what Paul says is the sincere milk of the Scriptures. When we're reading it, our bodies or our spirits are beginning to grow. And as we're in it every day, and I know for myself, man, I was still in sin, but I was reading the Word. I was getting so toked up, man, and I was starting to get all kind of revelation. And I just said how convoluted my thinking was. Man, if this stuff, what God's got here, has me thinking of spiritual truths, what does He have in heaven for me to enjoy? Out of a doped, insane mind. And the truth of what I was saying is still true. Except now I'm rational and understand the prophetic word that I was speaking forth now has some validity. How do we attain knowledge? What is knowledge? You know, these are questions that you know, we hear words, but we may not fully understand what that is. So I'm going to break it down. Knowledge is the acquaintance with facts, truths, or principles from a study or investigation of a particular subject to gain insight to those facts, truths, or principles. In other words, when I'm looking for information, I look at all kind of resources. If I'm looking at redoing my mortgage, I wouldn't be going to the butcher shop to get information, would I? Why? Because that information would not be pertinent to the subject that I'm desirous to learn about, right? And so I would have to go to mortgage companies or banks or some sort of brokerage firm that deals with these things in order to educate me so that I can make a good decision, right? Making a good decision is wisdom. Okay, once I've done my investigation and I got all the facts in there, now I need to use good judgment or wisdom, which I like to make it sound as common sense, in order for me to build something of quality in my life. It doesn't matter what the subject is. What matters is we must first attain information. Our job as believers is to be in the Word. We are to study the Word to show ourselves approved. Workmen need not be ashamed. The problem is, with knowledge, there is an acquaintance. There is not an intimacy that is in that. What do I mean by acquaintance? We can attain knowledge two ways. We can attain it by acquainting or experientially. Acquainting means, give you an illustration. If I hadn't known Irene as well as I do, and someone come up to me and said, you know what? I saw your wife in a cookie store talking with some guy over coffee and all. That's acquainted knowledge. I don't have intimate knowledge about what was going on there. I'm just acquainted with information that has come to me. Now, Satan will take that information and he will beat into my brains, your wife's cheating on you. Your wife isn't both being fulfilled in her relationship with you. And so she's looking for it outside of the relationship. Experiential experience says, I know my wife. I know her. And the reason why she's talking to that person is because that's my brother she's talking to. And they're setting up a birthday party for me. And she's trying to get him to get me out of the house so that she could set up all this stuff for me. That's experiential because I know how she operates. And so I know how it goes, you know. Can we see the difference? I mean, just in that simple illustration. But 99% of the Christians experience the Word of God through acquaintance. They listen to what the pastor says, and they say, oh yeah, that's right, that's right. But there's no experience in the Word. Why? Because Paul was preaching, and he was preaching in a synagogue. And I can't remember exactly where it was. I'll say Ephesus, but I'm not really sure it was Ephesus. But he was preaching. And the Jews there thanked him for his preaching. And then they went back and researched what he said. They were called the Bereans. Of today in upstate New York, it's Berean College. Okay. They studied the scriptures to see how accurate he was in presenting truth. Their experience was made manifest by their willingness to attain the knowledge of what he was saying. And we as Christians don't do that. We listen to everything that's from the pulpit and we take it as gospel. And I tell you constantly, get in the Word. See if what I'm saying to you is true or not true. Don't take my word for it. See what God says. And if it's true, fine. If not, bring it to me. Because I can be corrected. Believe me, I can. I would rather speak truthfully and honestly and forthright and give knowledge to you so that you can use good judgment to attain wisdom to build your lives that will glorify God and extend the kingdom of God. Satan doesn't want us to do that. Satan wants us to run on impulses and emotions in order to make decisions that will hinder and cripple our lives. Remember Jesus said, the thief comes not but to rob, steal, and destroy. And how does he do that? Well, you know, I just got into an argument with my wife. I think I'm going to go over here to Susie, who can understand me, and I can talk to her, and the next thing I know, whoops, I'm in sexual sin with her. Ooh. But Pastor, it just happened. No, it didn't happen. You began to believe the lie instead of the truth. And what you did was you started fulfilling the lust of your heart that Satan was bringing to your mind to motivate your flesh to do your will. See, his job is to cut us off. Any army that goes into a war, the first job is to cut the lines of communication. If and when he gets us to sin, he has been successful in that. And then his next ploy is to rob you of your joy. Oh, we're under it. Oh, God, I'm here going through the motions of praising God. I could sense it, man. It was like the spirit of heaviness was... We're still at Gary's grandmother's viewing, man. It was like weighing down. Rob you of your joy. He wants to steal your dreams. And most of all, he wants to kill your hopes. But God's desire is to infuse you with good things, to give you a hope, to make your way prosperous, and to cause you to be successful in life. God doesn't want to hinder you from anything. He wants you to release what you got in order for you to receive what he wants to give to you. And the problem is, we don't want what God wants because we're selfish and self-centered and we want what we want. And that is the truth. Being armed with spiritual knowledge will enable us to love God and ourselves so that we'll be able to love those who are still in darkness. You know, Satan is really smart. He will cause people to be angry and then cause them to justify their anger in order to separate them from God. And you know, you sit there and you listen to their arguments, and their arguments sound reasonable, but they're not based on anything except our emotions. The Word of God supersedes that. The Word of God speaks to our spirit, and it edifies our spirit. How many of us have done things out of our emotions? We've bought things out of our emotions. Oh, man, look at that plasma TV. 9,000 square inches of it. I can attach it to my car and I can watch the game as I'm driving down the road. I need that, God. The truth of the matter is you don't need it. That's my dream and hope. How many of us plan to invest money and we don't do the research into what we're investing our money into? And we want God to bless it. I had invested some money years ago into a research company, but I didn't invest enough time to find out what this company was involved in. And what they were doing was taking embryos at that time before it became stem cell. They were experimenting on these living embryos. And I couldn't understand why the money I was investing into it was actually decreasing in value. And the Lord said, you got to look deeper. And looking deeper, I saw this. And it was in violation to the sanctity of life. I moved my money to something else. And man, it grew. It grew. All I needed was a little knowledge in order to make a good judgment, to act upon wisdom in order to do things. Satan will get us to get angry with one another. We'll be in relationship one to another. And we will do things. Some of us, in our anger, will binge on food to find our comfort in food. Some with drugs, some with sex, some with alcohol. because we're angry with who we are. And so we make that anger directed at someone who loves us and cares for us, but we don't want to hear about it because, after all, I know more than you. And we do things that is detrimental to our lives without realizing the consequences of what will happen. And Satan is having a field day with God's children. He's having a field day. Let me read something to you. Turn to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Some months ago, actually some years ago, I've been telling you guys that you must cultivate a healthy fear of the Lord. You got to. When you cultivate a fear of God, then fear of man has no place. Because man will not begin to make you do things that you don't want, nor will you make men do what you want. It's called witchcraft or manipulation. And Scripture says that the act of witchcraft is punishable by stoning, death. Symbol of Christ destroying those who try to influence for the wrong reasons. We need to cultivate this in order to start to understand what it is that God has for us. The kingdom of God is suffering tremendously because we don't do those things that God wants us to do. And we ask God to bless our mess instead of rolling up our sleeves, finding out what God says, gleaning wisdom from those who have experience and knowledge to help us get out of the plight that we're in and begin to discipline ourselves in a way that those appetites that we have given into no longer control us. And again, those appetites can be anything. Anything that is detrimental to us becoming influential in the Lord's hands. Those who reject God's wisdom and reject it, here's what God says. In verse 20, he says, "Wisdom calls aloud in the streets. She raises her voice to the public squares. In the head of all the noisy streets, she cries out in the gateways of the city. She makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will you mock, you mockers delight in your mockery, and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you reject me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignore all my advice and will not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and troubles overwhelm you." And he says, "And then you will call me, but I will not answer. You will look for me, but you will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes." God is saying to us that we operate under two spheres of knowledge: earthly or worldly, and spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge supersedes worldly knowledge because it directs us in paths of godliness and holiness, and it will bring us to success. And we are under the situation that we're at. We're in the positions that we're at because, let's face it, we are not doing what God has instructed us to do. And because we don't do what God has instructed us to do, or we delay in doing what God says to do, there is a harvest that is coming. And now that harvest has come, God is laughing at us because we have not done what it is that He says. And because we have not done what He has said, He will let us eat the fruit of that. It's like the little kid going in the candy store and he's just eating everything around. Eventually, he's got to go to the dentist. You know, a parent would just begin to discipline that child into eating just certain things, but basically maintaining a good, balanced diet. Junk food is what you're going to have in your body. If you're constantly feeding on junk, that's what you're going to have. Well, my kids won't eat broccoli. Well, you got to find something that they'll eat, because Fritos and soda just don't work on it. It will actually destroy your child in the long run. It's not healthy for them. But, you know, Jesus said, you know, wisdom's children will know better. In other words, those who listen to the Lord and do what He tells them to do, their lives will reflect the goodness of what He has. But there is success in what God says. If you look at Proverbs 2, He says, "My son or daughter, if you will accept my words and store up my commands within your heart, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight," remember that's what knowledge is, it's finding, accumulating information for insight. "If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord." Fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. If you're seeking Him, you will understand how awesome He is and how unawesome you are. "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He upholds victory in the store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk blameless, for He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. And discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you." Are you wondering why your lives and my lives isn't really where it needs to be? It's because you're doing and I'm doing what God doesn't want done. And yet we still are angry with each other, we're blaming each other, but the only one you got to blame is yourself. Really, it's the truth. We're listening to what the enemy is telling us, and we're not believing what God says. The enemy says, you don't have to read the Bible. It's a trophy. Put it up on the shelf and let it collect dust. Just a book of words, it doesn't mean anything. But my Bible tells me that it was written down by various men through the unction of the Holy Spirit to inspire them to write this wisdom down for us so that we can learn from them. To learn from them and to learn the fear of the Lord. I fear God. And those who've hung out with me and been with me in certain aspects of ministry and stuff know that, you know what, I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. I'm not here to make friends with you. I like to be your friend. But when it comes to the Word of God, my opinion doesn't matter. You're going to hear what God says about whatever subject that it is that you're involved in that you need to hear, and understand that God has a place in which to bring you from this point up, not from this point further down. God is not angry with us. God is not anxious about our situation. What He wants is to begin for us to respond to His Word. In obedience. We are kingdom people. Remember, we are kingdom people. We don't have any rights. God tells us what He wants done. We do it. And if He doesn't have anything specific for us, we need to begin to implement His Word into our lives in order to create a thirst to those outside looking at our lives. If we are not doing that, then our lives will be corrupt and full of the whirlwind. Some of the blessings that God says to us, He promises us a life that would become good and pleasant, according to Proverbs 2:11. He promises that if we utilize wisdom, our lives will be extended, according to Proverbs 3:2. He says that if we utilize wisdom, He will pour out blessings upon our homes, Proverbs 3:33. He says that anything that you do what you put your hand to will not be hampered, according to Proverbs 4:12. These are good things. Why? Because if we continue in the path that we're at, we will become stressed and anxious, and we're just throwing our lives away, not accounting for anything. God has a purpose for us, and the purpose is for building the kingdom and extending it and bringing people into the church so that they can be saved and they can be raised up. And they can see how awesome and glorified God is. Satan wants to stress you out. Satan wants us to fail at everything that we do. He wants us to believe his lies. He wants to kill us with temporal things, when everything that we have is eternal. He wants us to become satisfied with the things of this life, not become satisfied with the things we already have in eternal life. And that's the problem, church. You know, we get stuck in this mindset that because the wicked prosper, they have everything. They got the latest, greatest, you know. But Jesus told us, what good is it if you buy the whole world but lose your soul? What good is it? And God is not against us having these things, but when we make these things more important than educating our soul and bringing our lives into alignment to what the kingdom is all about, we've got a problem. I don't know about you. I had my friends talk to me and they said, you know, you're 53 years old. You should be not building a house. You should not be remodeling. You were at the last months of your mortgage. Why are you doing this? Because God told me to. Are you nuts? No, God told me to. And it's been 2 years and we put it together just like God told Noah. What's God telling you? He's not telling you something to hinder you. He's telling you something because he wants to benefit you. Yeah, there's struggles in everything that we do. But you know what? Every Sunday I come in here and I praise my Lord, my God, my King. Yeah, you know, I've had some bad days and bad weeks and really some bad months, you know. But I come in here and I praise God. Why? Because he's worthy. I praise him for not what I don't have. I praise him for what he's given to me. I praise him for my salvation. I praise him for my eternal life. I praise him that he has made me his son. I praise him that he has washed away all my sins, although I can see them every day. I praise him that I have a family that he has brought back into alignment with him and that I have a relationship with them. I praise him that I'm able to help people in a small way by giving them the word of truth so that they too can begin to praise him, not for what they have, but what they have in him. See, God is not angry with you. He's angry with Satan because we would rather believe Satan's lies than the truth of what God would say to us. We've gotten testimonies today. And everyone has to understand that these testimonies aren't by chance. These testimonies are by the faithful that are looking at things in a way that, yeah, you know what? I did some bad things in my life. I've made decisions not based on the Word of God. But from this point on, I am. I messed up my life. I should have been this movie star. I should have been this actress. But I gave in to my temptations. I gave in to my desires. I could have been an engineer. I could have been a pilot. I could have been... You know what? They are still there. It's just the consequences of us partaking in our immature carnality will hinder us from really making an effect into the world. Remember I said you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts? Not in this day and age. You can't tell the saints from the ain'ts. How do we live? How do we conduct ourselves? How do we speak to each other? How do we love each other? Oh, I hate you, but I love you. I used to say that to Irene. And it makes sense, you know. How can you hate somebody but love them at the same time? God wants to prosper you, but he's not going to prosper you according to your way. Your way, you're going to reap to the wind, and you're going to reap the whirlwind. Or so to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. You may be biding time. You may be angry at everybody and say, you know what? In a few months, I'm out of here. I'm going to live my life. And you can. You can live your life any way you want. You have that freedom today. But understand, there are consequences to everything that you decide to do, good or bad. God wants us to prosper. It will require us to be disciplined. For whom God loves, He chastens or disciplines. You know, there's a way in which God wants us to proceed in our lives. It is our responsibility. He's given us His Son, He's given us His Word, and He's covered us in His blood. The rest is on us, church. That's why I identify myself with Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Because you know what? What I had before, I was almost divorced. I almost lost my family. If I lost my family, I probably would have been given over to drugs and been dead by now. But God, in His awesome mercy for me, extended His grace. He redeemed my family. He restored us to a healthy family. And now my desire is to see that passed on to all those who He brings our way. The kingdom must go forth. The Joshua generation is sitting before me. You guys need to take the kingdom to them and bring them in. They're not going to come in unless you bring them. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your Word. God, I pray that today, that through these simple illustrations of how Satan would try to confuse us and cause us to work out of our emotions or ignorance, God, that we're going to be separated from You until we repent, until we get right with You, God. It doesn't matter. Father, I ask that Your people would come to this realization that You are the answer to every problem that we have. You are, God. You said, You told Moses, I am that I am. You're anything that we need You to be. You are that already. God, I ask that Your people pick up Your Word. Holy Spirit, ignite our hearts afresh to pick up Your Word and study it. To see what it is that You would have us to do in those subjects, God, that You are speaking to our hearts about. That we are no longer like children stuck in our ignorance, God, but we would be men and women growing up in You with full of knowledge and wisdom and fear of You, God. God, I ask that as we go forth today, Lord, that You bless Your people richly. Pour out Your knowledge. Pour out Your wisdom, God. Pour out Your compassion and mercy upon us, God. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.